Good morning, Rachel. I'm running for county commissioner because I am concerned that we're not moving forward on recovering from the recession and creating the new economy for the future, where Lane County is thriving again, and where we have a functioning public safety system. And I'm watching our commissioners have scandals and backroom deals and lawsuits, cover-ups. You know, it's just not the kind of open government that I believe in as a citizen in a democracy.
What life and work experience do you feel would serve you as a commissioner?
I've been an engineer for 18 years, and that professional career has been very satisfying. It's a great lesson in practical problem solving. I understand infrastructure challenges. I've worked with industrial clients and municipal clients for many years, getting projects done with diverse groups of people on time and on budget, solving problems that we need to solve. So I think that's a really great professional background. And I'm a mom, so I have a stake in the future in the way that I feel looking forward, we don't have the luxury of continuing to argue about the few things that we disagree on. I'd like to see us moving forward on the many things that we agree on, building the kind of Lane County that we can all be comfortable and proud to live in.
The West Lane County District is huge geographically, with lots of, you know, a lot of rural areas and some more urban. How do you think you can best represent this vast area and the people of West Lane County?
It is a large area. It is a diverse area. And yet I would say, having now spent almost a year going door to door and talking to thousands of voters across this large district, from Santa Clara all the way out in Junction City, all the way out through West Eugene, Bonita, out to Florence and the rural areas in between, there's a lot of commonality in the things that people care about. You know, they care about having good jobs. They care about the quality of life and the environment. They care about their kids getting good education. So it's a large area, and that's challenging in the perspective, from the perspective of being able to reach everyone and hear everybody's views. People are also busy trying to make a living and get and do the things they need to do. But in terms of what representing that area, I think the important thing is to listen to people and to focus on the things that we agree on. And there's an awful lot that we agree on, and there's an awful lot of commonality across that large district. So focusing on that commonality and looking for ways to build agreement going forward, I think, is what matters.
You've raised a little more money than your opponent. Who are your campaign contributors?
I am very proud to say that my campaign contributors are nearing the 500 mark. We have a very grassroots campaign. My contributors are average people. I mean, it's mostly almost 50% of the contributions are $50 or less. And it's, again, almost 500 people and growing every day. So what I'm hearing and feeling from the community is a real interest in change, a real interest in feeling more represented and listened to, a real excitement about the grassroots quality of this campaign. So I'm funded by moms and dads and teachers and business owners and real estate folks and, you know, folks in every kind of business you can imagine, and from every Republicans, Democrats. I'm endorsed by Republicans and Democrats. It feels like a very big tent, if you will, and I'm excited to have that kind of support behind me.
Former Governor Mike Huckabee came to town earlier this month for a fundraiser that's expected to benefit Commissioner Jay Bozovich. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's an example of the kind of extreme back. My opponent is on record with some extremely extreme views. Extremely extreme, can I say that? He's really beholden to some very big money interests. His contribution list is not a diverse list. If you look at it, it's a couple dozen, mostly, most of his money is from a couple dozen very, very large contributions from large timber corporations and from this sort of ultra right-wing pack that has folks like Mike Huckabee behind it. So he's beholden to those interests in a way that I think compromises his ability to do anything but represent the extreme right. And that's not representative of this, as you mentioned, large, diverse district. So I think that is a contrast between our campaigns.
The board has fired the former administrator, Leanne Richardson, and that was after it was found she had lied about converting vacation time to take-home pay. Maybe you can reflect on that situation, and do you think the board acted correctly, and how would you have dealt with that?
The board, that was a very embarrassing situation for, I think, all the folks who around Lane County who expect open representative government. It's embarrassing to watch that kind of scandal play out. It's not the first scandal we've seen at the Lane County Board of Commissioners, but it's certainly been damaging to the relationship between the public and its elected officials, and it's not what we expect from a democratically elected government. From the very beginning, it was a flawed process. One of the most important roles of the Board of County Commissioners is to select a qualified administrator. And from the very first minute, I mean, she was appointed and she was never required to show a resume. And her background was not in administering this kind of budget and that kind of staff. So from the very get-go, it was pretty obvious that she wasn't qualified and there was no competitive process. The Board of County Commissioners chose to not have a competitive process to select an administrator the way they should. So from the very beginning, it was a flawed process. And then to not supervise her adequately, that's another big part of their responsibility, is to supervise this person and make sure that things are going appropriately. And that she was not supervised was another failure of this board. And I would go further and say that there was knowledge of, and it's shown in the report that was redacted, and then we had to sue to see that report. We had to pay taxpayer dollars to get a report revealed. That's not the way it's supposed to work, and I'm offended by that. And certainly, as a commissioner, I would be not hiding behind redacted reports. I would be wanting to have the light of day on the way decisions are made, and I would wanting to have public competitive process to hire an administrator, which they did finally in this latest hire. But from the get-go, that's how things should have been done. I'm committed to open government and a transparent process.
So you feel comfortable with the process of the most recent hire, and he hasn't started yet. Steve Mokrohiesky, I'm still working on pronouncing his name.
Yeah.
But you feel comfortable with that process?
They finally did their job the way they were supposed to. I think they hopefully learned something from that last experience and seem to have followed an appropriate process to select this next administrator, which I found encouraging. I don't know enough about him to know, and I wasn't part of that selection process, obviously. So I don't know. Yeah. I can't really comment on him, but certainly they followed a more appropriate process this time.
Lane County Board positions are nonpartisan, but Jay Bozovich does identify as libertarian, and he's seen as conservative and pro-business. How would you define your own political philosophy?
I'm committed to representing this moderate district as a moderate. I mean, I am a registered Democrat. That's not a secret. But it is a nonpartisan seat, and it has been important to me in this process to spend time talking with voters and learn the sort of feel of the district, learn the district, if you will, because it's important to represent the district in a responsible way. I think it's a nonpartisan seat for good reasons. We shouldn't be playing politics with this position, as we have seen my opponent do in the past. So I think my endorsement list, my list of endorsers speaks for itself. I'm endorsed by Congressman Peter DeFazio and by prominent Republican Jack Roberts. And when you look down the list, there are, again, business owners real estate folks, like other elected officials from both sides of the aisle. And that, I think, speaks to what my intention is, to serve as a moderate voice for this moderate district.
Women haven't been represented on the board for many years. Do you see your gender as in any way an advantage in running for this office?
I think it's an element of balance that's good for decision making. And I've worked my entire career in a very male context. So it won't be the first time that I'll be the only woman at the table. If that's how it shakes out, we have other seats up for election, so we don't know how that'll turn out. But if it were to shake out that way, it's certainly would not be my first experience of that as an engineer. And I will say that I think having a woman at the table is a good thing for balancing the discussion, bringing another perspective in. It's just an aspect of diversity that creates better decisions.
And what will you be doing for the next, I guess it's just about a month or so before the primary?
It's exactly 34 days until the primary.
Who's counting, right?
But who's counting? Yeah. What we're doing is knocking on doors and talking to voters. That's mostly what we're doing. I'm spending the weekends, and now that it's light in the evening, I can go door to door in the evenings as well. And really, it is a privilege to talk to voters. And many voters will share with me. Not everybody wants to talk about politics at the door, and I absolutely respect that. So I have to do it. If you're listening to this and you are you're upset about somebody knocking on your door, I just have to apologize. But I will say this is what we have to do. This is the best way to give voters an opportunity to get to know me and for me to continue to learn from the voters of this district what's important to people, what they want to express about either how things have been, where they want to go, so we can build a vision together. And those one-on-one conversations are a privilege and a delight, and I get to do them for 34 more days.
Is there any one issue that comes up a lot when you talk to people door-to-door?
The economy. People are we're struggling. We're really struggling. And I have not seen vision or leadership from my opponent on the economy. Folks want to know when are we going to recover from this recession? When are we going to start building the Lane County of the future? And I think when a board is distracted by defending themselves from lawsuits, it's hard to focus on the business of the job. And the other thing that comes up a lot of the doors is the public safety system. You know, we are 1-911 call away from a tragedy like we saw in Josephine County. Our public safety system needs attention. Our priorities are. I have some questions about, you know, the way we've prioritized those public safety dollars. Not providing those rural patrols is really very dangerous.
And how would you specifically, what are some ideas you have to help grow the economy?
Well, I envision a Lane County that's thriving on a diversified economy. We need to diversify this economy and really focus on our strengths. And our strengths are many. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. You know, agriculture, food and beverage industry, recreation, tourism, medical. With the Riverbend investments that we've made, we could be a medical center, more of a regional center, high tech. There's just so many things that we do well, and timber. Timber is going to be a part of the mix going forward. But just I would like to see us focusing on those strengths and creating more prosperity in more areas, paying attention to more areas. And a great example would be food. The residents of Lane County spend almost $1.2 billion a year feeding ourselves at grocery stores and restaurants. And less than 5% of the food that we buy is produced in Lane County. That to me looks like a great economic opportunity. So I'd like to bring together conversations between my connections with the OSU's technical expertise on food processing and the U of O's business school, LCC's workforce training, the Lane Workforce Partnership kind of resources, and agricultural producers and food processors in the area and venture capitalists, and really get a conversation going about what food products can we be producing here locally that can start to move that needle upwards. If we're producing less than 5% now, can it be 6%? Can it be 7%? Can it be 10%? Every time we move that needle 1%, we bring $11.7 million more dollars into the local economy.
And regarding public safety, how do you see improving that situation?
That's a tough situation. I was glad to see the sheriff do the heavy lifting on getting that public safety levy passed. Last spring, we definitely need to have a conversation about how to prioritize those dollars. I think our priorities on public safety funding have maybe been a little too heavily focused on the jail, and we need to also bring attention to patrols and prosecution and prevention and intervention. So rebalancing our public safety dollars across a wider range of the public safety needs is going to be real important. And that's not an easy solution. I don't pretend that I have a magic wand to solve it. But we need to be focusing on rebalancing those dollars so we get those rural patrols out there for sure.
Well, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Rachel.